I call the house to order. Or do you want a body break, members? Let's have a body break after the candidate. No, no, no. We are done with Mr. Biela. Mr. Biela is already in the house. So let's give him according that respect. You are welcome, Mr. Andile Biela, to this interview. My name is Sile Mapulane. I'm with the other co-chair here, Honorable Master Manopoli. On the right, we are with Honorable Members of Parliament and Adult Committee. We are going to ask you a couple of questions in total. We have 30 minutes to do that. So as you respond to the questions, just bear in mind that you've got 6 questions, 30 minutes. Before I ask the members to start posing the questions, I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us your name, who you are, your background, and basically tell us why we should appoint you. What are you offering to the NYPA?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you, Deputy Chairperson, Honorable Members of Parliament. My name is Andile Biela, born and bred in KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of my academic achievements, I have a Bachelor of Honors degree in Geography and Environmental Science. My undergraduate qualification is Bachelor of Arts in Planning and Environmental Studies. I have also completed a Master's of Commerce at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, focusing on leadership and local economic development. And I'm currently working on my PhD, focusing on intergovernmental relations and its role in local economic development planning. More towards employment, I've worked for Tuba Local Municipality as a manager for economic development and tourism, primarily responsible for economic development within that region. And I've also worked for Ganga Local Municipality as an assistant director for local economic development and tourism. I've held several leadership positions from university and beyond. I've served as the president of the SRC at the University of Zululand. I've also served as the president of the SRC at Mangosuthu University of Technology. Yeah. I've also been fortunate enough to receive an exchange program fellowship, which saw me leave for the United States in the year 2009 in an exchange program where I was based at Jackson State University in Mississippi in the USA. I also received a fellowship program in the year 2015 called the Mandela Washington Fellowship, which saw me again leave for the USA where I was based in Virginia for close to 2 months, focusing on public management. And I'm currently serving on the board of directors for the Mandela Washington Fellowship, which is a program that is joined between the South African government and the USA. And on a lighter note, I'm a staunch supporter of Kaiser Chiefs. Thank you.
And you started well. And then you ended on a red note. I can assure you there are Buccaneers here and supporters. So you just expose yourself, you know. So when you get hard questions, you must know that because of what you have just said. Okay, thank you for the introduction. We are on the second round now, Honorable Lissom.
Thank you so much, Chair, and I think you did a very progressive Amandepagania for life. On a lighter note. After looking at the Diana. Thank you. For me then, my question is based on the assumption, notwithstanding the what you have just walked us through in your CV in terms of your experience and so forth, in terms of the NYDA Act number 53 of Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. I would like just to know or to get a sense of comfort in terms of your understanding of the mandate of the NYDA in this way, stipulated in terms of the Act and the policy. Secondly, if there are any challenges, because I'm sure you have gone through the strategy and the financial year's report in terms of the AG and so forth, are there any gaps that you have observed? If the answer is yes, amplify on that. If it's no, do the same as what we, if you may. And also, what will be if the answer is saying yes in terms of the mitigating factor? The last one also, what will you add in terms of ensuring that there's an effective and efficient in terms of the implementation of the programs of the NYDA as stated by the law in terms of the Act and also other legal documents that underpin the workings of the NYDA? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for this question. To respond to that, the annual report of the NYDA, specifically that of the year 2015-2016, page 17 specifically on the first paragraph, has succinctly summarized the Act in terms of its relationship with the NYDA. And it says that the NYDA, in terms of the Act, is responsible for mainstreaming youth programs. Secondly, it is responsible for initiating, it is responsible for implementing, it is responsible for coordination, and very importantly, it is responsible for the monitoring and evaluation of these programs. But the Act further stretches from there and calls for the NYDA to be responsible for the establishment of the integrated youth development strategy. But even over and above what the Act stipulates, if you go to the annual report specifically and you jump to the second page, talks of the five key performance areas of the NYDA. The first being economic participation, the second being education and skills development, the third being health and well-being, the fourth being good governance, and the fifth being policy and research. Now those five key performance areas read together with the Act broadly gives an understanding that the responsibility of the NYDA in terms of the Act, it is to lead and champion youth programs in South Africa, to mainstream them and ensure that there is coordination and linkage and inclusivity in terms of stakeholder relations and management. Now the second question after that was my understanding of where improvement may be necessary. I think one must first applaud the outgoing board of the NYDA for receiving a clean audit, because that is the basis upon which subsequent members will be working from. But over and above that, it is necessary, I feel, for the NYDA to increase its national footprint, be visible in areas where it is not visible currently, to be able to be seen in rural areas where people are unable to transport themselves to the centers where the NYDA offices are based, and basically to have a better outlook. And if I were to respond to your last question in terms of what I would add, I think one of the things that I'm confident that I know very well is performance management systems. And that is the value that I believe I'll be able to add to the NYDA to ensure that it continuously meets its targets and objectives. But over and above that, I do specialize, as you have seen in my CV, in local economic development, which is primarily the creation of a conducive environment for business to thrive and to create jobs, to reduce inequalities, unemployment, etc., which I believe is very important for the overall strategic direction of the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will come from Honorable Tengwa. Just switch off your mic.
Thank you very much for the lesson notes and all of your parents. That's why I put that there for the record. Everybody is recording there. Tell me what the intervention on the last issue that Sibela has raised of creating conducive environment for the economy to thrive. The NDP expresses that it is an advantage for South Africa to have a youthful population provided that that regional population came therefore in employment. Now, taking into consideration our current labor conditions in terms of unemployment in particular, which has quote unquote been on the increase, currently now standing at 27.1% or so, which in the main affects young people who are unemployed. What do you then recommend to ensure that public and private institutions prioritize the employment of young people, both skilled and unskilled, to reduce unemployment? I raise this that we with a sharp focus on the NDP. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Kengo, for the question. Now, the NDP, firstly, to talk to you precisely on the issue of young people and unemployment and ensuring that we will address such issues. It talks specifically to the re-engineering of our economy, firstly by re-industrializing and secondly by diversifying the economy. Those are the two pillars. Now, addressing those and also adding very importantly the upskilling and education of our people, because when you read the NDP collectively with the national youth policy, you then understand that there is also a mismatch in terms of the skills available versus what the job labor market requires. And that requires, therefore, an organization or rather an agency that will be able to increase the skills and education of the young people directly towards what the labor market requires, which then Honorable Sengwa talked to the creation of a conducive environment. Now, the World Bank clearly defines this by saying that government alone can never ever create enough jobs that are required by the people. Hence the need for public-private partnerships. Hence the need for intergovernmental relations, both horizontal and vertical, to ensure that the stakeholder relations, to ensure that the government is able to create the right climate and the right economy and the right environment for the business to be able to thrive. When business thrives, it is only there that it is able to absorb young people into the labor market. And therefore, I believe that the responsibility is to create this climate and not necessarily to seek to create short-term jobs and employment, because those become unsustainable. But when the environment is conducive, when the environment is okay for business to come, when the environment is supportive of investor attraction, investor retention, and investor expansion, only then are you able to create a climate which then encourages the absorption of young people into the market. Thank you, Honorable Kiyama.
Thank you. Honorable Nkang.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome, Mr. Daniela. Mr. Daniela, my question is perhaps, I have two questions for you, which are around for around your good governance here. So seven. I'm just thinking to read how to work this. Question number five. Yeah, question number five. Mr. Bayela, I hope you did read your youth policy very well. Within the youth policy, there are principles that are mandatory in terms of your good governance. Out of the 12 principles, I would like you to detail for me the 5 principles which are in terms of good governance. And perhaps also you should also perhaps indicate to us how you incorporate this principle into a workable program to achieve the goals of the your youth development. Thank you. Can you repeat that last one? Second question, part two of your question. How do you incorporate these principles into a workable program? Go on, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Straightforward. Good governance is short to the principles of openness, the principles of green governance, ethical governance, responsiveness, and transparency. Now, how then do we factor this and ensure that the leaders are running a proper organization? These principles alone do not automatically mean that the organization will now be run, you know, effectively and efficiently as part of the principles. But over and above the principles, there are other legislative prescripts that jointly work to ensure that these principles are adhered to. I'll make an example of the PFMA. The PFMA talks to sound and proper financial management, both in terms of your revenue management, in terms of your expenditure, in terms of your asset management, and so on. So these other legal principles, jointly with these principles that I've mentioned, ensure that the organization is running sound and efficient and in a proper manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mare.
One of the main objectives of the NYDA Act is to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa and develop guidelines for the implementation of this strategy and make recommendations to the President. Now, the question is, elaborate on your understanding of the integrated youth development strategy and why the strategy is important.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marie. Now, before I respond to that question, I think I would need to just stretch back just a bit to give context. Now, the NYDA Act is primary in this instance. And the NYDA Act gives rise to the establishment of the NYDA in 2008, as launched by the President in June 2009. And thereafter, it gives rise to the establishment of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. So it is not operating in isolation, but it is a mandate of the other strategic documents that I've mentioned earlier. Now, the importance, therefore, of the strategy, it is to become simply an implementing tool to ensure that the country is able to realize, firstly, what the policy talks to, and secondly, what the Act mandates. Now, given that background, the strategy then becomes important in terms of ensuring that there is job creation for young people, to ensure that there is inclusivity for young people, to ensure that there is a change of mindset of young people from becoming passive citizens to active citizens, not just in the economy, but also in skills development, also in education, etc. So, broadly, that is the responsibility and my understanding of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, to be used as a tool to mainstream, to run the youth development program and ensure that young people are included in the economy of our country, and by virtue of which then one will be able to address issues of youth unemployment and so on.
Okay. Have you read the strategy? Yes. Have you read it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Honorable Jasta.
My question is on the national youth policy, which was developed for all young South Africans, with the main focus on addressing the wrongs of the past and addressing the challenges and the needs of the youth. Then, let's say you are now appointed as the member of the board, and then you are then expected to implement the agency policy. Can you share with this committee your understanding on the objective of the national youth policy and how to think forward to achieve them? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. The policy that you are referring to, it has a set of key proposals that it mentioned. If you go to the A4 printed version of that policy and you refer to page 16, it mentions primarily the policy propositions that are fundamental to the policy. One, it is your economic participation of the youth. Two, it is education and skill development. Three, it is health as well as drug and substance abuse. Lastly, it is social cohesion and national building. Those are the four pillars that anchor that particular policy that you are referring to. Now, how then do we operationalize these particular principles? Very important is that the NYC will develop strategic frameworks that will drive its agenda, which will obviously have targets, goals, and objectives which are measurable. Now, what is important is to ensure that you have a well-developed PMS, performance management system, that seeks to integrate these mentioned principles as part of the operational documents of the NYCA and ensure that they become measurable so that on a quarterly basis we are able to reflect to them to see whether we are making progress or we are not. And that is the only way that you can operationalize them and bring them to be part of the NYCA operation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The last question will come from Honorable Manak.
Good afternoon, Mr. Viela. My question will be based on the 9-11, which is the NYCA, the National Youth Development and the National Youth Policy. Further highlights the principles that must be upheld to ensure youth development in the previous years. There has been a perception that the agency only serves certain sections of the youth. I've got two questions, Roman figure number one and Roman figure number two. What can be done to change the negative perception amongst young people about the National Youth Development Agency? The Roman figure number two, how are you going to ensure that the NYCA under your leadership as a board member will consistently abide and be guided by the principle of the youth development without prejudice?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe I'll start with the last question because I feel like the first one I have to elaborate more. To ensure what you are referring to in your last question, it is basically the process of monitoring and evaluation. And as I said in my previous response to the question that I was asked previously, is by including these principles in performance management systems of the agency, then you are able to track on a quarterly basis performance and you are able to see that there is no pressure. But to refer to the first question, which I feel that, you know, all young people across the country, you know, are concerned and are interested about, which is that of the NYDEA and the perception. Now, I want to draw you to a personal experience of mine whilst working for Nganda Municipality as an assistant director for local economic development and tourism. From time to time, you know, my office would be confronted by the elderly and the young and all sorts of people who seek assistance, but specifically on the young people who would want to either establish themselves as SMEs for entrepreneurship reasons or would want to establish themselves in the form of cooperatives. One of the realities and the facts that exist is that the NYDA's footprint does not exist in rural areas. And that is a fact and not an opinion, because where I worked for several years, we literally had to transport documents or whatever that was needed by the NYDA from those areas in the outskirts to where the NYDA offices are based. And therefore, I would like to believe that the negative perceptions that exist are not necessarily based on the performance of the NYDA, but are rather based on the lack of visibility of the NYDA where it matters the most. And therefore, I'd like to believe that one of the mechanisms that could be used to change the face of the NYDA and the perception is to make sure that the NYDA becomes grass-rooted and it serves those who need it the most, which are those in rural areas, which are those who are destitute, which are those who do not afford the basics, And in short, the NYDA really serves those people, because the existence of it only in cities and well-developed areas does not seem to serve the better majority of those who really need the assistance of the NYDA. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vieira. Just one clarification from my side. This ad hoc committee has resolved to subject all the candidates who would have been shortlisted to security screening. So we conducted that screening, because we commissioned the screening and requested that the relevant institution must do that for us. So we've got a report here, and in terms of the report, there is a negative credit record in your name, or on your name. Yes. It's from FNB smartphone. Quite a substantial amount, 55,000 and 56 friends. Is it the true situation?
Oh yes, absolutely, it's correct. Oh yes, not necessarily being proud of this, but it's an admission that it is correct. And I would like to submit to this committee that given a short amount of time, one is able to submit evidence of attempts of trying to address that particular death. I'm not sure what the time frame would be for me to submit such information.
Okay, but it has not been cleared.
It's still outstanding. That is what I'm agreeing to, but further to that, I'm saying that there are attempts to reduce the amount. Mind you, that I'm currently full-time on my PhD without being employed by any government institution. But I've made arrangements, and which is why I'm saying that I'll be able to submit to this committee evidence for such, which would indicate that there is ways of addressing.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, please do that.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if there are follow-up questions. I see there are no follow-up questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just as formalities, you might be aware of the procedure, but I must tell you what is going to happen. After this process, we are going to meet and deliberate, not today, of course, probably next week. We will meet, deliberate, do our report, send it to Parliament, we will debate it. Hopefully Parliament will approve the names that will be recommended. And then if Parliament approves both houses, we take it to the presidency. And it is only the president who is empowered by the act to appoint. And if he accedes to our recommendation and you are successful, you'll be, I like your confidence.
Yeah.
You will be notified. I don't know about that case of shifting, what is the disadvantage? Because there's no case of shifting here.
That comment is insisting on here. That candidate is not alone.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for coming. So can we break for 5 minutes for the break?